favorite month, leap into spring. Well, it's great to see you here this morning. You braved the weather. What's a better weather? Seriously, I've heard in the next 4 days we're getting more rain than we've had for the whole of winter. And it's getting to the farmers. Yay! So that's worth it. Where's Hugh? Is Hugh here today? No? Hugh's probably out there. Is he ploughing the ground, Caroline, getting the crops ready on the farm? Fantastic. It's great. How are we? Have you had a good week? Bad week? Mediocre week? It's okay. It's okay to have bad and good weeks. Well, it's great to be here. The title of my message today is our theme for 2020. Who would have known when Pastor Nige started praying and believing God that the theme for 2020 was going to be stronger, the world would be falling apart. But I want to say today, you are stronger than you think. Say it with me. That looks like quite painful what she's doing there, doesn't it? Come on, I didn't hear you. Tell me. You are stronger than you think. Have you ever had anyone ever say that to you? You're stronger than you think. Well, that's the title of my message today. And Nigel and I felt God give us a scripture out of Exodus 14:3 earlier in the year, at the beginning of the year. And it's a really interesting scripture. The children of Israel just to give you a bit of history, the children of Israel, God has finally said it's time to go. You're going to go. You're going to go into your promise. It's time. The season now is for me to deliver you. And so off they go. They've been in captivity, and the Egyptians, they've been slaves to the Egyptians. And so they've gone. They've finally left. And they get to a place where it's almost like a dead end. They've got the Red Sea in front of them. But then the Egyptians decide, why would you give up your best asset, your slaves? And so they go after them. And they can see them coming towards them. And Moses says this incredible one-line statement. He says, don't be afraid, just stand still. Other translations say, just stand where you are and watch the Lord deliver you. Just stand where you are and watch the Lord deliver you. And that was a scripture that we felt God give us as a couple earlier in the year. You know, psychologists have identified there's two physiological reactions that we humans will go through when we're in a position where we feel frightened or threatened. You would have heard of it, I'm sure. It's the flight or the fight reaction. Now, I don't know about you, but depending on the situation, I will respond differently. In some situations, I will fight. And in other situations, I will flight or I will run away. An example of flight was Nige and I have been married for over 30 years. We were very, very young. Wouldn't recommend getting married at 19, just 19. But anyway, we did. You know, you're young and you're silly and you're arrogant and you know, all the rest of it. And so we got married and I was just 19. And so one of the things that I would often do when Nige and I were working out our marriage, don't listen, Katie and Wes, to this, what I would often do was I would get so mad, I would pack my bags and I'd want to run away. Now, I didn't because I'm still here, obviously. The same thing happened when I had Jared, and it's really good he's not here today because I remember the day, about a day or two after I'd had our son, I thought, what have I done? If you're a parent here, you'll understand that it's one of those decisions you make you can't turn your back on. You're stuck with them. And it's been 25 years and finally he's moved on and gotten married. But, you know, I remember that feeling of just wanting to run away from that responsibility. You and I will have situations in our life where we'll need to either stand and fight or we'll flight. But what's so interesting about this is that God doesn't tell them to do either of those things. The Lord says, stand. Stand. Actually, that translation says, stand still. Stand. Now, what I find interesting is the Lord didn't say, sit and watch or have a nap, and when you wake up, I would have delivered the enemy. He says, stand. I want you to stand. Now, you and I would find that very hard. If you're like me, I'm a doer. I want to do something. If it's running or going whatever, fighting, I want to do something. But God doesn't. Just because the battle belongs to the Lord doesn't mean you and I aren't engaged. The Lord didn't say, sit and watch me deliver you, or take a nap and watch me deliver you. He said, stand. If Queen Elizabeth walked through today, those glass doors, whether or not we liked the monarchy or not, most of us would stand because we're in the presence of greatness. We're in the presence of someone of authority. I wonder if God said to the children of Israel, I want you to stand because I'm going to do something amazing. You're going to get to see the God of heaven do something incredible. And if I'd been there, I would have found it very hard to just stand. I would have wanted to do something. Yet faith is letting go and trusting God's got this and he will do what he says he's going to do. We underestimate the power of just standing. We can often feel it's not enough because we aren't going anywhere. Oh my goodness, isn't that COVID-19 right now? We can't go anywhere. I had dinner with friends recently and she was telling me she just is dying to go to Europe. I said, I'll go to Rottnest. I just want to go anywhere. I don't know about you. I just want to go anywhere, you know. And my heart breaks with our Melburnians and the Victorians where they, you know, back into, you know, phase four again. You start to go crazy, don't you? But staying and standing is not a bad thing. And as I reflect on where we are right now, I believe it's a time for you, myself, and the church to stand. Standing isn't losing ground. It's an opportunity to put a stake in the ground and say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to watch God do the miraculous in my life. But you may be feeling right now that even standing seems pretty hard. Too hard. And what it does is the pandemic, we've seen an increase in mental health issues. We've seen an increase of depression, anxiety, and people are worried, a lot of worry. People have lost their jobs. And we can become weary of life. I want to say today, you are stronger than you think. You are stronger than you think. There's a story of a young man who lost his job. He was sitting on a park bench feeling very depressed and hopeless when an elderly gentleman noticed him and asked him why he was so sad. The young man told him his story, and when he had finished, the elderly gentleman took out his checkbook and wrote him a check and said to him, I will meet you back here exactly 1 year from today, and by then you will have made enough money that you can pay me back. When the young man looked at the check, it was for the amount of $500,000, and it was signed by John D. Rockefeller, one of the richest men in the world. The man in the park went home and put the check in his safe, and he didn't cash it, but it gave him the confidence to believe he need not be afraid to start again. Now, this is interesting. He didn't cash the check, but it gave him confidence to start again. Well, the young man began doing business again, always aware he had the check in the safe in case he ever needed it. The year went by, and at the end of the year, he had made enough money to no longer need the check, and he was very anxious to tell the elderly man, John D. Rockefeller, of all that had happened over the year. So he went back to the same park and sat on the same park bench and waited. And soon he saw the elderly gentleman approaching because he always walked in the park at the same time of the day. But it appeared he had a nurse with him. The man seemed to be fairly unresponsive to the younger man who was holding out the check and trying to give it back to him. The nurse eventually took the check and looked at it and said, oh, this is no good. He's confused most of the time and he often thinks he's John D. Rockefeller. The check turned out to be worthless. Yet the young man succeeded because he believed he had what he needed in the safe and could draw on it at any time. So he didn't actually have any more money than he did before, but he thought he did. And because he thought he did, it changed the way in which he approached life. We can draw parallels from this story to our relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I will always be with you. I'll be your strength. I won't leave you. I will deliver you. It's like having the check in the bank. And if we need extra help, we have the assurance we can cash it at any time. It is also demonstrates that God has put so much ability in you and I, and you can do whatever you need to do. You've got the check in the safe, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who forgives our sins, gives us our best life. It's in the safe. He's in you. He's for you. He won't leave you. He will deliver you. If you fail, you can get up again because you are stronger than you think. I do recognize that we can become weary when things are tough out there. I don't know about you, but my job has been very busy and there's a lot of pressure associated with it. I'm sure most of you can identify this too in the jobs that you do. The past year has also been particularly hard, but I want to say you and I are stronger than we think we are. And maybe today it's not your job or your personal world. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's one of your children. Maybe it's disappointment over relationships. I want to say you are stronger than you think you are. I've been meditating on a scripture out of Philippians 2:13 out of the Passion Translation. I've been praying this a lot. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. I love this because the Apostle Paul wrote this from prison. I bet he was pretty weary, being beaten, point of starvation, living in squalid conditions. There was no, if someone didn't come and bring you food, you starved to death. The great Apostle Paul identified that the pressures of life can wane our passion for Christ. Yet, if we spend time with Jesus, even as little as 10 minutes a day, that passion will start to rise again. And what I love about this is Jesus understands our humanity. I mean, he doesn't get offended when our passion for him wanes. That's what I find so incredible. He says, "Come to me, and I will put in the passion to do what pleases me." You know, this month it's Leap into Spring. You've got a card on your seat. I believe that Leap into Spring pleases God. During pandemics, the poorest of the poor are always hit the hardest. And I know it's such a wonderful way for you and I to demonstrate Christ's love through our ongoing commitments to our overseas projects. The widows in India, our churches in Liberia and Sierra Leone have taken it particularly hard. Our schools in Liberia and our churches in the Philippines, and also the projects into the communities in the Philippines. You know, that scripture, stand and watch the Lord deliver you. For me personally, that means that even though our world is looking very uncertain at the moment, I'm going to make a choice to stand. What does that mean? For me, that means that nothing's changed from year to year. I'm still going to keep giving in to that missions program that I've done for the last 20 years. I'm not going to run away from that responsibility of supporting those projects. I want to stand. But it's not just standing, it's watching. Watch God do the miracle. The Israelites were hemmed in. They had the enemy bearing down on them, as I said earlier. They had nowhere to go, but God delivered them. What's the miracle you're waiting for? I have loved this season of COVID for the miracles that we've seen that only could have happened during this time. We've seen people get jobs when people are losing their jobs. We've seen God do amazing things of how he's protected so many people. So in every dire situation, God is still at work. And I say this every time I speak to you, and that is COVID. God knew COVID was coming. It didn't take him by surprise. God's got this. Watch and see the miracle. What's the miracle you're waiting for? I talked to Mel the other day, and she said to me, I said something quite some time ago and I'd not realized it. And our daughter has a health condition that there's no cure for, and every day I pray for her. And so it's just something that we do as if, you know, Nigel and I, we just pray every day. And so Mel said to me, Andrew, you said something a long time ago. You said maybe today is the day the healing will come. Maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day that the miracle's coming for you. Maybe today is the day for the breakthrough that you're looking for. Maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day of that person you've been praying for 20, 30 years to come and know Jesus Christ. Maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day where the miracle of your finances changes. Maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day. We have to stand. We have to stand. I just want to quickly jump to a scripture in Luke 4. I'm just going to read the second part of it. It's the story of the sower. And you may remember, Luke 8, I beg your pardon. You may remember the story quite well. It's about a sower who goes out to sow seed. And the seed falls into rocks, into sandy soil, and it falls in all different places. And he gives this scripture, and the disciples go, "We don't get that." And so it's really quite interesting if you read it. And in verse 11 it says, here's the deeper meaning of the parable. The word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts. The hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. The seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with joy. But soon afterward, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them, they wither and fall away. For they have no root in the truth and their faith is temporary. The seed that falls into the weeds represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God. But their growth is quickly choked off by their own anxious cares, the riches of this world, and the fleeting pleasures of this life. This is why they never become mature and fruitful. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. I love this. They respond by clinging to the word. I don't know about you, but there have been days, weeks, months, and years where I have had to cling to the word of God, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. I love this. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. If you and I stand, I want to say to you, I want to prophesy over your life. If you stand, you will see the harvest come. The blessing will come. We were out at dinner the other day with some great friends of ours who are pastors, and I was telling them about on the couch a few weeks back when we were talking about, I was sharing about, for me, the stages of grief. And so in psychology, they identify the five stages of grief. And I shared that I believe there's actually two additional steps. And so if you know those five stages of grief, they're denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I mentioned that I believe there are two other steps, if you like, and that's blessing and joy. You know when you've come through something, a painful situation, because you can bless that person or that situation and you can feel, you can observe it and think it doesn't cause me that pain. And then I said, oh, but I actually believe it's joy as well as that final step. God gives you this joy, this supernatural joy, just to laugh at life. Even when you don't feel like it, even when maybe the situation hasn't changed, but God gives you this supernatural joy. Well, I was sharing this with our friends and he actually corrected me. He said, you missed a step. I went, oh, okay. He said, after joy comes new life and new growth. After a season of mourning, there is always new growth. Joy comes in the morning. It is a spiritual principle. You and I need to get ready for the time of joy, the new growth. I said to him, you're right. You're so right. We need to start thinking about this church. We're not always going to be staying at this place in this time right now. It's going to be a new world once we're finally through the pandemic. And there will come a point where we are stop standing and God says, I want you to start moving. It's time to move. The thing is, the Bible says that, and I didn't talk about the first part of that scripture in Luke 8, is that what happens is that our roots go down deep. Our roots go down deep, which creates immaturity while we're standing. The pot plant isn't moving. We're not moving the plant. We're standing and we're growing. So even while you're standing, you and I are growing. We're getting stronger. The roots are deeper. The tree's getting bigger. And guess what's happening? I've got my lemon tree looking out my window. I'm looking at my lemon tree and I can see it starting to flower. I can see the fruits coming. It's a spiritual principle. Every year, spring has to come. And you and I need to get ready for what God wants to do in this next season. You need to get ready for what God wants to do in your life. If you think it's a winter right now, I want to say spring is coming. You're going to start moving again. Church, we're going to start moving again. It's going to be different. It's going to be new. It's going to be beautiful. God wants to do a new thing. God's not into the old. He's actually really cool. He's really, really cool, our God. He's like, nah, we've done that. Let's do something new. But are we ready for it? You see, the older you get, the harder it is to like the new. You like the old. No, go out and buy yourself a pair of skinny jeans. Change the color of your hair. You have hair. Listen to a different playlist. Get passionate about God again. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him. If you're not passionate, it's not this church. Sorry, it's not. It's you. You take you with you. You can be passionate at work or miserable at work. You can be passionate in the church or miserable. You take you with you. Get passionate about God and He'll do it. Spend time in His presence. The Lord delivered the Israelites from the enemy to take them into their inheritance. It was always His plan. Always. Nothing changed for God. He's pretty hard like that. He doesn't change His mind very often. I love that. It's a new season, new opportunities. In order for that to happen, we need to stand through the hard times in order to be ready and strong for the new opportunities that are coming. Church, you are stronger than you think. I want you to get some muscle on you today. You're stronger than you think. Change your confession. Change your confession. If you don't remember anything from this message today, you walk out of here and go, I'm actually stronger than I think. I can get through that situation. For the first time since I started my new job 2 years ago, this week I went, I don't think I can do this. This is exhausting. And then I went, change your confession. I went, I've got this. I've got this. Well, I'm glad the week's over, but I've got this. I'm stronger than I think. I'm a little toughy. What is it? What's the situation you've got to start speaking into your world about? What is it? We default to, I can't do this, I want to run away. No, you're stronger than you think. You are stronger than you think. You got the check in the bank, Jesus Christ. You can do this. Even when you fail, you can do it. He's the God of the promise. Second, third, fourth, fifth, 100 chances. You got the check in the bank. It's Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you, God. Father, I just want to pray for every single person here today. Whatever their situation's going, mental health challenges, physical challenges, relationship challenges. God, Father, even if life is awesome, Father, I just pray today right now that people are going to get a muscle on the inside. They're going to speak it over their life. They're going to say, I am stronger than I think. Because God, we've got you. You are in us. Oh, you are in us. Christ who rose from the dead. Nothing could be stronger than that. You laid down your life, Christ, so we could have our best. Father, we start, Lord, Father, we start standing strong. Our world needs us right now to be strong. We need to be the salt, the light of the world. We need to be strong in a time of fear. We need to be faith-filled people. God, I pray that here right now. And Father, those you say of weaker faith, those that are struggling, Lord, where we all are struggling in some area of our life, I pray, God, right now, Holy Spirit, encourage. Encourage. You're the comforter, the encourager, Holy Spirit. Do that right now.